Do you know, before we start, I've got to ask you a question. It's a question that we've been asking all week. How long do you think is a month of Sundays?
How long is a month of Sundays?
I'm probably asking the wrong person.
I might know the answer, though.
Go on.
I don't know.
Because it'll be something...
It's just an expression, isn't it?
It is, but it'll be something that someone would have said to you a long time ago, like, it's taking you too long, so they say, oh, you're never going to get that done in a month of Sundays. But we never actually questioned what a month of Sundays was.
I suppose it's just a long time.
Some people will say a month of Sundays is a month. Okay.
Obvious, yeah.
But it is a bit obvious, but a month, how long does it take for a month of Sundays to go past? Well, is that 4 weeks? Or is it a month of Sundays, so that means there's a whole month, so there's 30-odd Sundays, 30 weeks, which would be about 7 months.
No idea.
So it's not, but we never ever questioned it, did we?
No, we didn't.
But how long is a month of Sundays?
Well, we didn't, did we? We did as we were told.
Anyway, dinner disasters. Disasters, darling. Yes. So come on. What's that? It's sozzled there.
Had a drink.
We've just been joined by Georgia, who is, we're going to be talking dinner disasters. Have you got a dinner disaster story, Georgia?
Not like a really dramatic one.
No, right. Have you got a dinner disaster story?
Undramatic.
Undramatic, then.
Yeah.
Phew. Go on, then.
Go on, then.
Well, once when we were up in the Lake District, it was all my family, and my uncle was going on about this restaurant. He said it was the best restaurant he's ever eaten at, and he wanted to treat us all. He was posting it all on Facebook that he was going to take us because it was quite expensive. And we had to get a train there because it was in this different side of the town. So he was really up for it, and we were all excited. He said it was like the best food he'd ever eaten. And then we got there and it shut down. And he didn't even have a clue.
Disaster.
So we had nothing
Disaster,
to eat.
Disaster, darling.
Oh, yes.
It is. That's a great story. I like that.
Oh, dear.
So have you had a dinner disaster yourself?
No, I don't think so.
Not
seriously.
You're shaking your hair about it. Like, oh, no, darling, I'm a very good cook.
No, I did tell you last week, there was on that time on this lemon chicken dish, and I did really go OTT with the lemons. Thought everything was okay, and it was like a couple of years later, everybody said, God, do you remember when you cooked that chicken dish? Those lemons, it was so hot. And my green beans were too al dente. But no.
So it's memorable then?
Yeah, talking point, yeah. I've dined out on it for many, many years.
I'm just trying to think of any dinner disasters that we've had. You know, it's. I can't think of any. Not it's been too. Maybe we haven't overstretched ourselves with what we were cooking or. You know, I'm very careful. I'm very fussy or eat with. I'm not going to invite someone around I don't like. And I'm not going
it's
to invite.
It's hard slog, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, just say for instance,
a lot of effort.
If your other half don't like such a person, you think, well, that's going to be a struggle, so I'm not going to do it anyway.
Do you think so and so eats so and so, and all?
Yeah.
All
of that? I don't think we've ever had a disaster like that, but it is a concern. Now, what have we got here? Bex has said a friend of mine didn't realise you had to cook gammon steaks. Cue food poisoning for her and her new hubby.
Oh, no.
Why would you not think you'd
Why would you not? God.
Have you ever cooked anything and then someone say, how are you? We haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, no, when I come around your place last time,
no.
I was ill. No, nothing like that.
No.
No? I've had that a couple of times.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, where we've actually been somewhere and someone's been 2 hours and said, oh, yeah, no, next day, I want very well. But we just blame it on the wine.
As you do.
It's easy.
Your rocket fuel, yeah.
Oh, crikey, it's now this disappeared. My screen has disappeared now. The technology is a wonderful thing. So dinner disasters. If you do want to give us a call, you can. Feel free. It's 240-666 is the number. 240-666 is the number. So we're after your dinner time, your dinner disasters. That's what we want from you. And in the second part of this, we're going to be talking about, over to you, Max.
How have you met your current partner? Have you ever been on a blind date or done speed dating, online dating? What's the Lonely Hearts in the paper, the ads?
Have you done anything like that?
Never, I'm not going to either.
No, I don't blame you, because my mum always used to say to me, you'll never meet
any... funny sorts.
You never meet anyone nice in a club.
Yes,
in many old blimmin' old nightclubs.
It's true. Anyway, the description, 6'4", turns up 5', blonde, black, you know, black, dark hair, it's never the truth, is it?
No, it's true. Right, okay, we've got a great story here from Ali. Now, Ali says, although I hate to admit it, at the very young age of only 18, was cooking my first ever Christmas dinner for my new husband after spending hours preparing all the vegetables and ensuring the turkey was correctly defrosted. We sat down to the most wonderful Christmas dinner as newlywed man and wife. The whole meal was absolutely amazing. Later, whilst taking the meat off the turkey and getting the carcass ready for a stew stroke soup, I came across a plastic bag, cooked to perfection with the giblets still sealed in it. I hadn't actually realised that there were in fact two plastic bags contained in the turkey, one with giblets, the other with neck and scrag ends, which I removed prior to cooking. Did I tell my new husband? You may be asking. No is the answer, because we may have spoilt the dinner. It wouldn't have been that bad
anyway,
would it?
It's not going to harm you anyway. Surely it's in a bag, isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether you cook it with the giblets or not. Because
I don't think you can actually buy chicken now with giblets in.
But don't
I don't think.
Wouldn't you use it for the gravy anyway?
That's what I was thinking when you were saying that. I don't know. I'm not sure. And I don't know what is this big thing about, oh, the giblets were left in.
Do you remember there was a one of the, I think it was the first ever Christmas Only Fools and Horses, where Grandad cooked the Christmas dinner and left the, what I used to call when I was younger, giblets. I mean, they've got a perfectly good J in the alphabet, haven't they?
Yeah.
So why do we use the G as a J sometimes? You know, so I grew up thinking they were giblets, which to me sounds more, you know, giblets.
Giblets.
Giblets. English language, it's gone crazy, isn't it? But anyway, they made such a big thing of the fact that this thing had melted.
Must be a reason behind it then.
Well, I don't know, because they said, oh, you left it in there, but it was still in the bag. Like Ali said, it was still in the bag. Would that have really made a massive difference?
I don't know. But yours, as I say, we all go, oh, God, I left the giblets in. As if it's, you know, all the whole world's going to end.
Any more disasters, food disasters there, George?
My dad gave my whole family food poisoning at Christmas.
Sorry, that's probably not funny, but I didn't think you had another story, but there you go. It's there and it's out there. And
well, he said he did it on purpose so we didn't have to cook Christmas dinner again.
Method in his madness.
So what did he actually cook?
So
it was Christmas dinner, so what?
I think it was turkey, but I think turkey. He did these sausages as well. He didn't cook them.
Yeah.
We did, but they were still like pink inside.
You have got to be careful how you cook things, turkey and stuff. And I noticed that some people, I mean, you know, we talked about the fridges, what's in the bottom of your fridge, and defrosting and making sure that those kind of meats, there's a certain meat you can't cook from frozen. I don't think there's any meat you can cook from frozen, is there? Unless it's been treated.
Unless it's from Iceland.
Yeah.
My stepdad cooks meat from frozen all the time. Yeah.
That's why he keeps poisoning people, isn't it?
No, that's my stepdad. It's my dad that poisoned
him. He's at it as well, then. I'll have a look at that. But that's true. You can't cook chicken from frozen, can you?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Unless you don't really like the person that
Yeah, then you go
idea.
Ahead.
Yeah. Carol Farr says, hilarious. When can we see this? And if on catch up, which episode number must see it? This was leftover from last week. Leftovers.
Leftovers.
See what we did there?
I like leftovers.
I love leftovers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, we were kind of talking about this week about Nigel.
Well, how many people still do leftovers? I do.
I was just going to say, wouldn't it be great if you had a TV programme which showed you how to cook leftovers, make something really...
I think there was. I'm sure Oliver or one of them did it. I'm pretty sure.
Because Nigel Slater was on there, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, oh, I'm going to show you how to cook some leftovers.
Yeah.
So he goes to his... I mean, he lives in a castle, a house the size of a castle. He's, like, minted, loads and loads of money. He's like talking
as
to
if
his...
he needs to use his leftovers.
Yeah, we go to the fridge, and we find this rather large piece of salmon. Yeah, because you always have a large piece
of...
Yeah, leftovers, don't you? I mean, our leftovers is a bit of old veg, isn't it?
Make a bit of bubble and sweet.
From the roast dinner you've had before.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And a bit of cold meat.
I've done exactly that. From Sunday, we had chicken, roast chicken, myself and my boys. But I did extra. And I lived off that for the next 3 days. I know they wouldn't, but I did. And also, it saves time with coming back from work and stuff. So what? Jazz it up a little bit, perhaps a few more herbs or something. Nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. Are you a one pot?
Oh, I love one pot dinners.
One pot dinners are so good. Do you do much cooking, Georgia?
Don't be daft. She's a young girl.
No, I did cook the other day.
What did you cook?
Chicken stuffed with feta cheese and.
Oh, look at you.
Parsley.
Right, okay. Was it something you got out of a microwave thing?
No, it was raw chicken.
So you
actually...
That I
cooked and everything. And then I made the sauce to go on top. It was like tomato and onion and stuff.
Wow.
That sounds quite nice, actually.
That's quite impressive.
Mm.
Yeah, that is. It's impressive. So, dinner disasters is what we're after. If you do want to call us, you can, 240666, or you can message us. But the old food thing is quite a, I don't know, it's a fun thing, isn't it? Especially when it comes to, say, when you open the fridge and you think, right, you've got no idea what you're going to do. Let's make something up. Do you ever do that? Let's just think, right, I'll have a bit of that. I've got loads of that there, so I can chuck that in there, fry that off, chuck in a bit of onion, a bit of this, bit of that.
When I've got the time, when you've got the time to, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because...
Otherwise, it's just the bog standard proper food, fresh and all that, but get it on the table.
I do me chicken noodle quite a lot.
I know, and your chicken marmalade.
I mean pork noodle as well.
Pork noodle.
Do you know there's those cheap noodles that you can buy?
I know, like 50p a pack.
They are, less than that. They're 11 pence now. If you go to the right place, you go in there, you get some 11. So you get a packet of that
11p.
Noodle. Yeah, you get, honestly, you got leftovers, not like Nigel Slater's fridge, like a great big tuna fish
in
there.
Or,
yeah, no, this is proper leftovers. You got the pork from the day before, you know, chop that
chop,
up,
chop.
All the chicken. You chuck it in with some, I think
onions?
There's some Chinese spice. Let it marinate overnight, so you chop it up. So as soon as you've dished up your Sunday roast, you're thinking of the next dinner. So you've chopped up the meat, it's slightly warm, you put a bit of, what's that stuff you put in a pan, like a margarine type thing, but it's runny.
What?
You know, like a bit
lard.
Of... Not lard, no,
oh.
don't screw your face out like that, it'll stay like it. So you get, you know,
olive oil.
Similar to an olive oil, but it's a bit like margarine, but it's in a bottle and you squeeze it out, and you just layer the, you know, put that in the pan so it don't
sunflower
stick.
Oil,
something like that. Yeah, that's easy, just to agree. And you just
what do you mean you don't even know what you're talking about?
Chuck that in a bowl, right? Chuck in your spices as well, maybe some Chinese spice or some Thai spice. Leave it overnight. Get your noodles
soy
the next
sauce.
Day. Bit of soy sauce as well, just a spoonful, not too much.
Don't
salty.
Don't want to
overpower it. Although I do like salty food.
I do.
So and leave that to go overnight, and then when you come home the next day, you get your
leave it to marinate.
You get your 11p noodles out. Two packs do two people.
Ooh.
Okay, so you mash them up in there because you break them up first of all, and then you chuck them in a bowl. You put some boiling water on there, make them like big and lovely. Fry off your pork in your onions and chuck in some mushrooms as well.
Mm.
Okay, and then you chuck in your noodles, stir it all up, it's ready in 5
Bob's your
minutes.
Uncle.
Yeah. See, that's not a dining disaster. Not very helpful, but
no,
you know,
that's the recipe of the day, Jim.
But it's cheap and it's cheerful. Wouldn't it be great if you had Nigel Slater talking like that, making a programme, instead of saying, over here we've got some leftovers, here's a salmon that I didn't know that I had.
Well, I'll try your 11p noodles and my lobster tonight. see how we get on.
You have a lobster?
Don't be dull. I think crab's got more taste, actually.
I like, but I would imagine that if you're eating crab, what's your favourite part
white
of crab?
Meat, don't
got to be
that.
Yeah.
Oh, that brown.
Brown is a bit like, I don't know.
Yes.
Bird poo.
Yeah, I was going to say. Looks a bit, bit dodgy.
Do you like crab?
I never tried it.
Never tried it?
No. Oh, I do like crab. I think it's underestimated, actually.
I think you're absolutely right. That's absolutely
right.
It's
all this lobster malarkey.
Now, we're doing dining disasters, but we're also talking about blind dates as well. Have you ever been on a blind date, Georgia?
No, not a blind one.
Not a blind one?
No.
Okay. So, are you dating at the moment? Do you have a partner at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you meet?
Through Facebook.
Through Facebook?
Yeah.
So that's almost like...
it's
you know
almost
him?
Like blind date.
Did you... Yeah.
Online dating or whatever.
Could be. Did you know him before?
No.
You didn't? So you met him off Facebook?
No, my friend was talking to his friend.
He's not about 45, is he? We're not touched on something here, are we?
No.
So he's a young lad. You met him on Facebook. You've never met him before, but you've started talking to him on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you're together. How long have you been together now? Tell me to mind my own business if I'm being intrusive.
I don't know, like since like January.
Since like January?
Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't know him before?
No.
All right, so there you are. And
that
so,
is, yeah.
So when you met him for the first time, that's almost like a blind date, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so yeah. What was going through your mind when you first met him? I hope that picture's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, it's just really nerve-wracking, isn't it? Because if they're like not the person you're expecting them to be, then you're like... Or what if they're really horrible and you need to get away?
What if that's not his picture? Mm. And he's like...
Yeah. It was taken 10 years ago.
Yeah. 20 years ago. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit scary. But you met him and everything worked out all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you... I mean, you know, when we put Facebook pictures up, we only pick good pictures. Max does, anyway. Don't like any bad pictures. That makes me look like this. I don't want it on there. So, you know, so... did he look exactly like the picture?
Yeah, pretty much. Because if you're going to meet someone on Facebook, you've got to, like, stalk their Facebook first. Because then there's pictures that other people have put on of them.
Yeah.
Like, tagged photos of you are different than pictures you put up of yourself, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So just do a bit of stalking and they go.
We put a picture up of Max about 6 months ago, and she looked like she looked like of Oriental persuasion. She hated that picture, but I loved it.
Looked Chinese.
You did look Chinese. So, but I've put it up there, so it's out there. But that's not a picture that you would choose.
No, it's horrible. I hated it.
See. Johnny Cheng's been in touch. He now wants
to
go
to
on
meet
a date.
Up with me.
Yeah. let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Good afternoon, Geezer.
Oh dear.
It's Uncle Arthur.
How you doing?
I'm all right, Uncle Arthur. We got a couple of subjects on the go. They're fun ones. We're talking dinner disasters. And have you ever been on a blind date, or how did you meet your current partner, current wife?
let's start with a dinner disaster, shall we?
Go on.
This is actually slightly on a slant from what you're talking about, but back in the early 90s, I came to the island with a lady friend who was a lady friend at the time, and we got that... Do you remember they used to do a piece of paper? They used to get it on the boats and everything. It would show you what's on the island. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which don't seem to appear these days, does it? You don't seem to find it anywhere.
No, you don't, actually.
And I used to find that... When we're coming to the island as a tourist, I used to find that very helpful. Knowing where to go, and it had all like phone numbers and addresses and stuff in, didn't it?
It did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we was staying in Ventnor, and we thought we'd go out for a meal, so we found this place in Knighton. Now, I've not been able to find it since, but I know where it was, and it was a restaurant. And I phoned them up, and they said, hang on a minute, we'll see. Yeah, we can fit you in with a table for two. So, drove from Ventnor to Knighton, when you could drive from Ventnor to Knighton. Yeah?
Yeah.
Remember that road? The buses used to go down it, didn't they?
Yeah.
And pulled up in the car park of this place, and it looked reasonably quiet. Went inside, and there was only two people in there, i.e. me and the other person. And the lady came out and said, can I take your order? And yeah, there's an order. She walked away, and we... Bing! The microwave going. Two plates for starters, and I'm thinking, oh my god, we were the only two in the microwave. It was woeful.
Alright.
I won't name and shame the place, to be honest with you.
No.
Because I don't think that'd be very fair. But we the chef left almost just after we away. Which left the owner on their own.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Arthur.
Sorry, mate. I'm on a mobile phone here.
Yeah.
So I've never gone back to that place since because I found it excruciatingly embarrassing, and it weren't cheap either.
No.
You know. So that would kind of be that, but I've never been on a blind date.
Never
been on a blind date. No.
I have, and I'll tell you about it in a wee while. but how did you meet the current Mrs. Arthur?
How did I meet her? Right, are you sitting comfortably?
I am. Is it a long story then?
Not quite. I went to a school reunion in 2000.
Right.
My old senior school. And at the school reunion was her sister, who just happened to have been in my younger brother's class at school. You see?
Yeah.
Which I didn't know at the time. And... I inquired as to how her older sister was, and found out that she hadn't been that well, and she was living on the Isle of Wight. So we kind of made contact, and that's sort of more or less how we come to be together, bearing in mind that we was together when we was at school.
I know I've heard this story. It is a lovely story, isn't it?
Well,
I think it is. I think it's a lovely story.
That's kind of how we ended up where we are at, shall we say, you know? But, I mean, school reunions, I know one or two people that ended up with people from school they shouldn't have ended up with, and so they're not always the best things to do. But in my case, it turned out to be quite a good thing.
Oh, and you've been together ever since? That's 15 years then?
Well, it's getting on. It's 2000, so just after that, I suppose so.
Oh.
Yeah. Going for the record now, I am.
It's like a prison sentence, isn't it?
Yeah. With no time off for good behaviour.
Oh, it's a lovely story. Thank you for sharing it with us.
You're more than welcome, Geezer. But say, one of these days, I really must go back to that place in Knighton and just to see what it's like these days.
Yeah, I would imagine it's better.
Well, you don't know, do you?
No, you don't.
And I suppose I really shouldn't mention the other one, somewhere between Ryde and Sandown that we went to, where my wife wouldn't eat her dinner. And I said, is everything all right? And she said, no, not really. And as we got up to go, she said, lift up the salad on the plate. And we lifted up the salad on the plate, and there was a folded piece of butter underneath it, the wrapper.
Wow.
So it had come off of someone else's plate.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. We ought to do a show, just an hour on, you know, eating out and those kind of things.
That would
be kind of scary, though, wouldn't it?
Well, the trouble is, you see, you don't know what's gone wrong on the day or whatever. But, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I've worked in enough restaurants, cafes and kitchens, stuff like that. And one of the things you definitely do not do is nothing should ever go from one plate to another.
No, definitely.
It's just not a done thing. And in that particular place, we haven't been back there since.
You do wonder about that, though. Just say, for instance, if you don't eat all your bread, does that then appear on someone else's table?
Well, it shouldn't do, should it?
No,
it shouldn't.
Absolutely.
I mean, I will say I've seen staff, if some food's sort of like left on the side, I've seen the staff possibly pick at it when they've gone into the kitchen and eat it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it shouldn't go on to another customer's plate.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely not. Hey, look, thanks for being there, Arthur.
All
great
right,
to hear from you.
Yourself.
And you.
Yeah.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's 12:28, so we're talking... have you ever been on a blind... Have you ever been on a blind date?
No.
I have.
Go on, then.
I have been on a blind date. And it was my mum, right, that set it up. Because she used to work in a place... It was called Potty's Bakery. And it would be now, it would be almost like opposite, there's a place behind the church, or by the church, in Newport, St Thomas's Square. Okay, so it's one of those little shops there. And is it French Frank's? It's right opposite, almost like, just near, very near French Frank's. There was a little bakery there. And my mum used to do, because she never had like a big job. It's always like, you know, she's done a few hours here and a few hours there.
Yes.
But she worked in there part-time once a week, okay? And they had, in this little bakery, they had like a... It was like a coffee shop, so you'd go in and have a cup of tea and a cake or whatever. So anyway, there was this girl that she used to go on and on and on about. This girl called... I think her name was Jo. I'm not sure whether it was Jo or Julie. I'm not sure if it was Joe or Julie. Anyway, it was Julie. It was Julie. Definitely Julie. She used to go on about her. And anyway, I was... Because basically, they used to describe me then, at that time, as he changes his underpants as much as he changes his girlfriend, which is them every day I have a new girlfriend. So that's what they used to say about me. But anyway, they said, would you take her out? So my mum said, well, you cheer her up. She's a really lovely, sweet girl. Why don't you take her out and cheer her up? So I met her for the first time underneath the clock, the town hall clock, underneath there.
Did she carry donuts?
8 o'clock, no. 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I thought,
no.
Anyway, we started going out together, just as sort of, I thought, do a favour, you know.
Feel sorry for her, do a favour.
I'm not doing much this month, you know. But it didn't last, but anyway, I did go on a blind
get
date.
Get free cake anyway, didn't you?
And I felt like obliged in the end.
Obliged?
Yeah, I felt like obliged,
you
didn't it? Yeah, no, I know it sounds horrible,
it
doesn't
does.
It? It does. But
yeah.
you feel like you couldn't... I didn't have the heart to say, sorry, you're very nice, but...
Mm. It's not you,
I mean?
It's me.
It's not you, it's me. Yeah, one of those. But you felt like obliged to go along with it and obliged to carry on. And at the end of the evening...
It's hard to break up, though, isn't it?
Well, because you just feel like, well, now you're face-to-face. Don't hurt your feelings.
Yeah, cowards,
you know, they? I've heard a sob story from my mum saying, you know, you're down on your uppers and you're having a hard time of life at the moment. You just want someone to cheer you up. It's hardly going to meet... Sorry, you're not my sort, is
sort.
It? You're not my... you're not my type, so... You know, I felt like obliged to carry on seeing her for a month.
And then you thought that was probably a reasonable time to pack it in.
Yeah, no, I've done my time now. And so I said, look, you know, we should just go back to being friends. And that was that. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. So you've been on basically a blind date. You said you haven't, but you have basically been on a blind date. You met somebody on Facebook, all above board. You met him. He
well,
was
do a bit of stalking the pictures first.
Who he said he was, and yeah, no, I think that's I think that's quite sweet actually. It's quite no, I just think it's quite sweet because everyone's got a different story of meeting somebody. I remember meeting an ex-girlfriend, 25 years ago. And you come on, I could just come off the squash court, so I wasn't looking, you know, we were in there
sweating.
For about absolutely I looked
sweaty
must
bestie.
Have looked awful, hair all over the place, sweating buckets, and in walked this lady with lovely legs and so on, and all of a sudden you get talking and you realise now how daft it must look, or how awful it must. Alright darling, what are you doing tonight here, what a drink. And you know, there she is, all looking all prim and proper, hair all in the right place, very dainty, and there she looking like some sweaty oik that's just come off a building site. And it's you know, it's just weird, but we all meet people in different circumstances, don't we? I mean, you know, okay, the I would imagine if you're young, still at school, you're going to meet people at school.
True. At a certain age, apparently, it's work or being introduced by somebody else.
Yeah.
That knows you.
Definitely. Mm. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with more, and we are going to be asking the question, how did you meet your current partner? Have you ever been on a blind date? And so on and so forth. Would you consider going on a blind date now?
I don't think so.
No. Would it be too scary?
I think so. And if I did, I'd have to have a chaperone. You know, where someone pretends they don't know you and they're sitting on the next table, so there's a sign if you're not interested and your phone rings. I'm so sorry, I've really got to go.
My mum went on a blind date in about 1988, and I'll tell you all about it in part
two. Your mum's a bit of a one, isn't she?
She is. She's had four husbands.
Fair play.
And she has actually been on a blind date. So we'll come back, we'll tell you all about it in part two.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots, lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Care Learning Centre offers high quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
Business Insight a weekly programme of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success, plus business news and information to help your business succeed in today's fast-paced and competitive business world. Mondays at 6:20 p.m. on The Evening Event. Also available for download and podcast online at vectisradio.com. Business Insight is brought to you by Jigsaw Sales and Marketing Consultants, driving business success.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's John Willison from Cowes.
The best thing about White Fibre is their speed of response. And you're actually talking to a human being who you know is local. It's not transferred over to India or Scotland. It's a local person.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240-240. WhiteFibre.com. 24-month contract required. Fastest speeds available in all cabled areas.
Key Arts is one of 13 organisations awarded funding by the Isle of Wight Council to deliver youth provision. Key Arts is in partnership with Vectis Radio and is offering young people between the ages of 11 and 19 years, up to 25 years with additional needs, a wide variety of creative art activities, as well as the opportunity to learn about radio. Make sure to check out Key Arts' website for more information at www.keyarts.org. And don't forget to check out Vectis Radio's 4P course website as well, www.4ps.org.uk.
We have had complaints at the radio station that our shows are too professional, play too much good music, and have no technical mistakes. I don't believe you people. We work our fingers to the bone, and do we get thanks? No, just complaints. Isn't that typical from the great British public?
Don't worry, listeners. If you want a show that's got no real theme, has plenty of technical mistakes, and plays all sorts of music, we have the answer for you.
Humpty's Late Lunch, Sundays 3 till 5, with Humpty, if he's feeling better by then, Shania and Callum.
What do you expect? Something professional? Typical.
This is Vectis Radio. You can follow us on Twitter, Vectis Radio IOW.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So, 23 minutes away from 1 o'clock, we have Parky here from 1 through till 4, but we are talking... What are we talking today, Max?
What do you keep forgetting?
Yeah, I do. No, the reason... I'm like getting you to feel...
I know you're doing...
Is that all right?
Yes, yes. Well, we're talking about dinner disasters, we're talking about have you been on blind dates, done any speed dating. I don't know whether that's still fashionable, I don't know.
Speed dating?
Yeah.
Apparently they do the speed dating...
They do the walk.
And they've had in the last few years, they've had people get married.
Wow.
As well, they've met each other, they've fallen in love and then got married. We haven't had a divorce yet, but...
I'm sure it's on the cards.
Few years. I mean, nothing lasts forever, does it?
No, unfortunately.
That's what I keep saying. Nothing lasts forever.
No, change. Yeah, there's always change. So, Lonely Hearts. I don't know whether people still do it in the papers. And yeah, get a P.O. box number?
Yeah. we'll look at Lonely Hearts in a moment, yeah. But I've got a... I did say we had a story. My mum had a story.
Oh, yes, your mum's blind date.
My mum's blind date. It was in 1988, right? 1988. My mum had gone through a couple of husbands. She was in between 7 and 8. And she decided that she was going to join... one of those, not online because it wasn't around then. but she joined this like dating agency, okay?
Where you pay a fee, sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So she actually started talking to a guy that was in Ryde, who was roughly a few years older than her, and they got talking on the phone, and he invited her down to Ryde. And he said to her, do you drive? And my mum said, no. He said, I'll come and pick you up. And she said, no, that's all right. My son will drive me down. Okay. Anyway, I drove her down. We went to the door together because I just wanted to make sure that everything was all right.
Oh, sure, yeah. Kosher. Okay.
And the door opened and this bloke opened the door, and he looked like, do you watch The Simpsons?
Mm.
Do you know the little millionaire bloke in the Simpsons? You know, the little pointy nose. Yes. What's his name? I can't remember what his name is. Do you remember what his name, Libby?
Come on,
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns. Hello, Mr. Burns, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, this little bloke came in, but his whole face was covered in like a birthmark.
Oh dear.
So he came, but he was a lot older than he said. He must have been like, my mum would have been at the time probably knocking on 60, so, and he was probably well into his 80s. So I sort of stood there and had a big smile on my face because I was like, how funny is this? And anyway, he said, would you like to come in for a coffee? And my mum sort of looked at me and I said, go on, mum, go in for a coffee and I'll pick you up in a couple of hours.
I bet she didn't speak to you in the car all the way home.
Yeah, no, she didn't. No. I thought that was the funniest thing ever. It really made me laugh. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that story with you. Dates, blind dates, and we're going to just ask Libby about food. We're just going to backtrack on food. Have you ever had a dinner disaster?
It wasn't exactly a disaster, but it wasn't great.
All right, okay, go on. We'll be the judge of that.
Yes. Well, I went to Wales for my holiday, and I went to visit my nan.
Yeah.
And she cooked roast dinner.
Yeah.
And she made the gravy, and she poured it all over my food. And she didn't use gravy granules. She used coffee granules instead.
Oh, Delboy did
that's
that.
That's getting the gravy mixed up with the chocolate sauce for the pudding.
Yeah, you've got a neck of the gravy boat now, didn't you? That's what he said.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the greatest episodes of Only Fools and Horses, and it was real in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Oh, so, Maxwell House, and what was it? What would the gravy granules be?
Bisto,
yeah. All right, so we take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, it's Keith. Hi, Keith.
How are you, mate? Right?
Yeah, we're fine. We're talking dinner disasters and blind dates.
Ah, blind dates, yeah. I just wanted to phone. I've heard you mention speed dating.
Yeah.
I think that's a degrading meat market, mate.
You reckon?
I do indeed. Anybody who uses them has got to be absolutely desperate.
See, in some... I kind of agree with you, but if there is a success in there, people would disagree if they've met somebody and they're happy.
Yeah, but I think personally, myself, it's just a catastrophe waiting to happen.
All right. Can I just point out, this is a fun phone-in.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, if people go on speed dating, make sure that, you know, you keep in contact with somebody. And also the same on a blind date, you know, make sure somebody's there. If they don't get a phone call from you, then they know something wrong.
Yeah, but Keith, the speed dating is basically, like, as in the word it says, it's like you've got 2 minutes with this one person in a room full of people, so then you move on and you've got like a car, haven't you?
But Max, that's just like going in the supermarket doing your shopping.
People meet each other in the supermarket.
They do, apparently.
Much like that. But what I'm saying, it's degrading on the people that's using it.
Why? Because they've put them, they don't have to do it, they've gone in for it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They've got to be desperate to do it.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of lonely people out there.
They ain't got an arm at their back, have they?
No,
it's not being lonely. That's just being desperate.
Well, it's not really, is it?
No, I don't think.
I don't think it is now.
Well, why rush it? Why do you have to have a rush meeting to try and find something you want to go out with?
Because so many people go out on a date and waste, like, hours, and they're just not compatible. So it's... they do say you've got to...
Yeah, but surely it's better to do that than go and spend 2 minutes with somebody and end up with the wrong one.
Yeah, but you're lucky because you met somebody long time ago and you're happily married. I would imagine there comes a time in somebody's life when they say, you know what, I'm ready now to start dating.
Yeah, dating, yeah, but not speed dating, Ian.
Yeah, but that's where you meet somebody, isn't it? You meet somebody on a speed date, you're rushing things through.
Yeah, but how can you find out what somebody's like in 2 minutes?
Well, I'll tell you what.
They say you do find out fairly quickly if there's a connection or something.
Yeah. Yeah, never tried it, so how can you...
Yeah, but come on, Max, let's face it. If you go on a speed date, and you sit, oh, yeah, look at this bloke, he's absolutely gorgeous, he's a hunk, look, he's got the body of a god, I was going to say goddess, body of a god, and, you know, he's got a nice deep voice, etc., etc., then you go and sit next to, you know, in front of somebody that's like, say, like me, that's fat, hairy, covered in tattoos, who are you going to choose?
Not you.
Not you.
Exactly.
You won't be there anyway. You don't like speed dating.
It's a blooming meat market. It's what you see is what you get.
Nah, see, I disagree. I disagree purely and simply because you've been married for X amount of years, and this is just a different way.
But it's like going to a supermarket, isn't it? You go to a supermarket, you see a nice joint of beef there for £8, and you look at the ropey, scraggy old bit that's Tesco's value. If you can afford it, what are you going to go for?
Nah, see, I kind of see what you're trying to say, but I don't accept that. I don't agree with it. I think it's just another way. I think, you know, I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I'd ever.
Dating.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I could ever do it. But I don't condone these people to do.
To be honest with you, Ian, it ain't no better than the beauty contest.
Maybe.
Miss World ain't no better than Miss World, mate.
It's Fun Time Thursday. The lunchtime social debate. Thanks for your call, Keith.
Oh, you're going to cut me off now. Look,
yeah, you're a miserable so and so today, aren't you? Have you got a dinner disaster to make up for the misery that you've caused?
Dinner disaster? When I was on honeymoon, my wife cooked me a spam fritter.
But that sounds all right.
Oh.
Not when you put the spam in the frying pan and tip the batter on top of it.
Right. How are you supposed to do it?
You end up with a spam fritter the size of a blinking frying pan. It's all batter with a little bit of spam in the middle. That's a dinner disaster, isn't it?
You should have gone on one of them speed dating things. You might have got yourself someone that could do a spam fritter.
Guess what I got in my emails yesterday?
Spam.
No, an email to go on Come Dine With Me.
Really? You should go on it.
They're recruiting in our area, apparently.
You should go on it, Keith. You'd be genius. You'd be legend. They'll be talking about you for years.
Especially if I wore me patch. Arrgh, that's some of that with it. No, that ain't no good. It got no fish in it.
Starters, spam fritter.
Yeah.
Spam fritter, yeah. The size of a frisbee.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
Have a good weekend. Hey, Max.
Yes.
Don't take it to heart, love.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yes, you have. You've got all
defences. No, I'm old-fashioned. I shall be face-to-face whenever it happens.
You have a nice weekend, then.
Thank you, and you, Keith.
Cheers, Keith. See you later, mate. Bye. Right, OK, so 13 minutes to one. We're talking about blind... Have you been on a blind date before?
No.
Would you ever go on a blind date?
Probably not.
Are you dating at the moment?
No.
So you haven't got any stories about, meeting somebody or, you know, so, I mean, most people, I would imagine, they meet people down at the supermarket, maybe picking up the kids from school.
Apparently
maybe,
when you least expect it.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, you know, those people that want to go on a blind date, I think, yeah, okay, be sensible about it. Those people that want to go...
Stay safe and all that.
You know, the speed dating thing, I think, yeah, it probably sounds fun, doesn't it? Let's be honest, if you get to a certain age where, just say, for instance, you've got to your age, Max, and you're well into your 50s, and you're saying to yourself, you know, you're single and you've saved yourself for a bit, and you kind of stop being in the loop and how to communicate with people. You just sharpen up your skills, won't it?
I suppose so. Yeah.
So next time there's a speed dating thing, I think we ought to go.
Just for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Weigh it up.
Yeah. What questions would you ask?
Yeah, because I think it could have, what is it, like four questions, the same questions that you ask each. Then you said competitor.
What questions would you ask? What five?
I've got to think about that. I don't know.
What side of the bed do you sleep on?
No.
Do you like coffee or tea?
I want to see if they've got a sense of humour.
Yeah, of course you do want it. What sort of stuff do you... What
makes
you laugh?
Where would you take me if we were going on a date?
Yeah, what makes you laugh?
What makes you laugh?
Bernie Inn. Take you to a Bernie Inn.
Are they still going? Prawn cocktail, mixed grill, knickerbocker glove.
Yeah. Take you out for an ice cream. Let's go out for an ice cream.
Yeah. Hey? Just for the benefit of the listener, Michael winked then.
Ali says, through CB Radio, his handle was the Executioner. You should have stayed away. You met on CB Radio, and his handle was the Executioner. It didn't didn't scare me off, though. I was 14, Stan was 20. I'm already terrified. We got together when I was 19, nearly 31 years ago, and no, before you ask, I wasn't called Prickles. Okay, there's a story and a half. Jane says, met online 10 years ago, and look where it got me, couldn't be happier. So
there are success stories, which we know, yeah.
There's a lot of success stories. I think I've told this story before, which is it's kind of a sad story. An old mate of mine, he used to be a light jockey. Do you remember the light jockey? He looked a bit like Roger Daltrey. Scary, but he was just like meek and mild and timid. Lovely fella. And didn't have a lot of confidence around women. He got talking to someone. He was working for the MOD, and he got talking to this person on a regular basis at work, who also worked within the MOD, but at different ends of the country. And they got talking for years, and a couple of years went by, and then they said, do you fancy meeting? You know, it took 2 years to build up the confidence. Hey, do you fancy meeting? And they met up, and they got married, and they had two twins. They had two little girls. And they must be, I think they were a year younger than Tom.
You mean they had twins?
Yeah, twins, yeah.
They had two twins.
They had two twins, didn't they? You know, those two twin things.
You know those two twin things down the road?
Make them sell a couple of twin tubs, don't you?
Twin tubs.
Yeah, sad thing is that then she died. She just suddenly died, and he was left with two young girls to bring up. But, they met each other, and they were inseparable, and they had two lovely kids. And I think they're about a year younger than Tom, so they're about 18. So it would have been about, 20-odd years ago this happened. But there was a happy ending, but a sad ending later on.
I think more people might do the online thing and what have you, but perhaps they're just a bit nervous.
Pauline says, in the library, it sounds like Cluedo.
They can't talk in the library. They must have been passing notes.
It's in the library with the lead piping.
Yes.
Pauline says, in the library, both chatting on a chat site. Both started laughing at what was written, looked at each other, then at the PC screens. We had only been sat messaging each other without realising
it.
Don't
be silly.
Spent three happy years together before he passed away.
Oh.
See, there's a lovely story, but then it was tinged with sadness. But it was lovely them getting together.
Yeah.
And what
are the odds of that, though, to be sitting next to each other and they're actually talking to the screen, but they're next to each other?
Yeah. Darren says, met my partner through a pen pal section of Soldier magazine whilst on tour in Bosnia.
God, people still do pen pals.
Pen pal. Have you got a pen pal, Libby?
I used to.
Yeah, I used to as well.
Pen pal, what, from where?
Australia.
Ooh. Did you ever? Because see, I would have kept in with the Australian fellow. Was it a girl, boy?
It was a girl.
Because you'd like to visit.
Absolutely, yeah. Can I come and visit? Can I come and stay?
Six months.
You never ever got to that stage.
No.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Yeah. You want to resurrect that?
What was the idea behind that?
I don't know. It's almost then someone else come along and sport it. Do you remember those pet things that you had? They were like batteries, battery operated. They replace pen pals, didn't they? You've got to look after this pet and feed it.
It might die if you don't water it.
That's it.
Petrified, walking around with it all the time.
Well, do you know the pet things I'm talking about? Do you know what they were called, Libby?
What were they called?
No, but I used to have one.
Did you?
I used to have one, see? Died.
Louise says, met mine as he delivered my child. Hang on, is this child or child? That would be bizarre,
that
wouldn't
would
it?
Be.
He delivered my child. And then later on, we were together.
Yes.
He liked what he saw.
Oh, my God.
Child. He met.
Yes, of course you did. Yes.
Met mine as he delivered my child. Every child. Delivery, my child delivery to my shop 5 years ago. So, that's a nice little story. David Hobbit Woodford, internet website. See, people are doing it.
They are doing it.
And I know this fella. He works in... If you ever go into... You know Maplin's in Newport? Maplin's by the cinema?
You go in there.
There is a bloke that looks like... how can I put it? Bob Hoskins. He looks a dead ringer for Bob Hoskins. Okay? And when he says he looks like a hobbit as well, it's so true. He's like a cross between Bob Hoskins and a hobbit. So if you go into Maplin's later today, or maybe at some point in the next couple of days, if he's there, he's always stood by the till. And you can only just see over the counter there, because he is like hobbit size.
Stand on a little stool.
Yeah, and he's got those great big old feet. Great big old hairy feet.
Hair all down.
He don't
his
wear
face
any shoes, but he does wear a Maplin t-shirt.
Oh, so right.
So it is him. Adam East, funny enough, he used to work in Maplin's.
Oh, it's all going on at Maplin's.
But now he's in O2. Probably because he tripped over that big foot one too many times. Met Zoe on a blind date, organised by friends. A few drinks, a lap dance, and of course I married her.
Mm.
That's interesting. Backtrack. A few drinks and a lap dance. Who did the lap dance?
Oh. Yeah.
Was it Zoe or was it Adam? Adam East. Funny enough, Adam used to do a show for us a few years ago. I wanted to call him Adam Eastwood on the radio because I thought that would be great, but he wasn't having any of it.
No, I remember that.
But anyway, first dates, blind dates, how did you meet yours? How did you... I mean, you've had many husbands. How did you meet your first live-in lover?
Live-in lover.
Live-in, you know...
Introduced.
You just introduced?
My mother.
By your
lovely mum, yeah.
So you just got an introduction?
No, she said there's this guy and he comes to the rugby club, blah blah blah. And I really think you'd get on with him. I really think you'd like him.
Aww.
So I heard lots about him. Didn't know what he looked like. So I suppose this is sort of blind date-ish.
Yeah.
And then I went up with him on this Thursday and he was there. And I turned around and said to her, "You must be joking." And she said, "No." And sure enough, his personality won me over, etc. And probably one of the biggest loves of my life.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. See, they say your mum knows best.
And then after 2 years he dumped me.
Oh.
And then he married a looky likey that looks like me.
Really?
It's always the way.
How is she wearing now, though?
I set it up for her. All the hard work. She walks in, gets all the glory.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Rotter. So how is she wearing now, though?
Last time I saw her was a couple of years ago. She's all right. She's him?
Yeah, no, how's she wearing now? I mean, does he look, you know, do you think...
him?
You know, should have been me, love.
I'm
in better condition.
Yeah, very much so. Should have been me.
Yeah. Jackie Gregory says, New Year's Eve, 25 years ago, still together. Kevin Barkley, Jay, says, I run pubs, guess.
Oh.
Simple.
Cheers.
Simples. I remember... Back in the day, because that's how you used to meet people, you used to get your mate to go over and say, "Here, he fancies
you. Yeah, are you interested?"
Yeah. That's how I met my first wife, first time ever, was sent her a little message through someone else. You know, because I must admit, if I got a big no from there, I was interested in someone else that was over there.
You had backup?
Yeah, backup plan, yeah, plan B.
Yeah, of course.
Didn't want to be lonely. And I met my current wife Speedway.
Yeah, I know you did, yeah.
At Speedway. And I hate Speedway now. No, I don't. I'm joking. It's turned me against Speedway. And I can't remember where I met. I think it was because you worked in pubs and clubs. You know, you're always going to be... But I always remember my mum saying, you'll never meet anybody in a pub or a club that's going
to
be good.
Yeah, and especially a club, because with the music and everything, you were always shouting, weren't you, to try and have a conversation. And then you're doing all that while you're putting your ear really close to hear what the answer was.
And yeah.
You're saying, what?
And everybody's half sloshed.
Yeah. It is true.
Yeah, you never met... You'd want to go to church.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want to meet somebody, you want to go to church.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Libby?
No.
We kind of went off on one, and you were going to come in and tell a story about your latest boyfriend.
No.
You're not going to tell the story?
No.
You were full of it out there.
Yeah,
you
were telling us. No, yeah. We're scary, that's the problem.
Yeah. We kind of just take over, don't we?
What is our
we
show?
Live in our own little world. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's
in our
nice.
Own little bubble.
It's nice in our world. We make each other laugh. We don't care that anybody else isn't. But thanks for all your messages. And I think there's absolutely nothing against. If you want to go speed dating, if you want to, just be careful. If you're going to go on a blind date, again, I think it's a lovely thing to be able to meet somebody. And if you then later, you know, are together and you've got a family out of it and some happiness, then nobody should criticise that. Absolutely nobody should criticise that. So good on you. That's what we say. But just be extra careful out there.
And if anybody knows of any rich, good-looking, funny, youngish chaps out there that's single...
Okay. Can we just say, ask the question? I mean, we know roughly what sort of age you're looking at.
Oh, I think I should go down a few years myself.
Yeah, all right. How far are you going down?
I've got to tell you something quickly. A friend of mine's put me on a website.
Oh, yeah.
But she hasn't put my picture up, but she's answering the replies. I don't want to get involved.
She's vetting them for
she's
you.
She's vetting them.
Yeah, she's vetting them. You want to go...
She said she's got some quite nice ones on there.
You either want to go for a George Clooney lookalike.
I don't fancy fasting. George Clooney.
Go on, it's ideal. Come on, this is your time. This is your moment.
I don't know. I'd like him to have his own teeth and make me laugh.
Right,
treat
okay.
me to a few nice evenings out.
Okay, well, I can stretch a chicken noodle.
Yeah, 11p, push the boat out.
Yeah, I could stretch a chicken
oh,
noodle.
Oh, two bags, 22p for you, love.
It's always right to have most of yours.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds right.